He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And ask and you shall receive. You know, it's we are very lucky to have great people all around the station that help us out. And our fearless leader, Ryan Porth, sent him a text and said, can you help us here? And he said, heck yeah, I got you. So we want to give you a little bit of a breakdown. And you guys have been asking for somebody smarter than us to talk about this, I think. That's what it really comes down to.
We have zero combined minutes of officiating time in the NHL.
Right.
Between the two of us.
That is fact. That is an absolute fact. And as we try and break down exactly what happened, why it happened, he's one of the best in the business and the friend of the show, obviously. Kerry Fraser, former NHL referee, Kerry Fraser, joining us. Kerry, we appreciate some time on short notice this morning.
Hey, Braden and Fitz, listen, it's great to be with you anytime. And, you mentioned your lack of officiating minutes in the NHL. You're consistent with all of the hockey fans of the world. They know more than me, and they haven't stepped on NHL ice. So you're in good company, believe me.
So I have to ask you out of the gate, was that in your mind? Because the great debate this morning has been the rule that essentially says continuous play can be reviewed in these instances if the whistle was blown early. Was this in any way, shape, and form in your mind a reviewable play?
Not really, because the puck was struck and moving towards the net from a distance after the whistle had been blown. This whole referee intent to blow the whistle thing is it actually started from a call that referee Andy Van Helmond had in the Stanley Cup playoffs with the Quebec Nordiques when Alexei Kovalev laid down at center ice. He was playing for the Rangers. They were in a series against the Nordiques. It was in Madison Square Garden, and Kovalev was quite an actor, and so Van Helmond let the play go, and Kovalev was peeking at the red line to see if the whistle was going to blow. It didn't, and then with Kovalev still laying on the ice, Joey Sakic put the puck into the net. At that point, the goal was disallowed. The whistle blew after the puck entered the net. And Van Helmond said his intent was to blow the whistle. So that's the history of this intent to blow stuff. And then it was changed just a year or so ago to allow review if the puck was moving toward the goal line and about to cross while the referee had lost sight and was blowing the whistle. This one last night did not apply. I will tell you what does apply, though, and I don't want to take anything away from the Pittsburgh Penguins and two-time in a row Stanley Cup champions, Sidney Crosby, greatest player in the world, no question. But I will say that as I saw that play, I thought, oh, no, well, how could you blow the whistle from that distance? There was no confrontation at the crease. Sometimes a referee will see a scrum developing and digging at the goalkeeper, in which case he'll blow the whistle to avoid the goalie and the puck being pushed into the net. There was none of that here. Referee Kevin Pollock was in the corner deep. What he should have done was drive to the net to find the puck. You know, Mike Milbury last night on the NBC broadcast said the referee, once he loses sight of the puck, blows the whistle. Well, it does say that in the rule book, but in practicality, it's imperative for the referee to try to find the puck. There are times when you don't see it. You don't blow your whistle. You look and you move to get to the position so you can find it. That's what should have been last night. That should have been a good goal, and who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, and it seems like he was sort of on his way around the net to do that, and had he just allowed himself to circle behind the net, he would have seen the puck loose and sort of trickling out and letting it go. And I've said this, Kerry, the whole show today, this is a very normal thing. It's a human error, it's a bad call, but the whistle being blown and not knowing exactly where the puck is, that's something that's happened in hockey for three decades.
Well, it really has, and I certainly have been the victim of, as have players, my quick whistle. But I learned very early, and it was a game in Chicago in the old stadium, where I had thought the goalie crunched down. He was standing up, bent over. I thought the puck was in his equipment, and there were players about to jam at him, and I blew the whistle. Well, the players weren't trying to jam at him. They saw the loose puck had dropped down behind the goalkeeper. And so as I blew the whistle, I saw the puck, and I wanted to suck the air right back out of it. All I could do was apologize to the players, and it was a very good lesson for me. I was a young referee at the time, and I thought, you know what? I need to be more patient with the whistle. What's the worst thing that can happen here? The worst thing that could happen is maybe somebody bangs the goalie, and we have a little bit of a scrum, or he dislodges the puck, at which point I would say the puck was frozen, and it would be no goal. So that's where the experience, and I'm not saying Kevin Pollock is inexperienced. I think it was just, you know, in the pressure and the emotion and a little bit of a brain cramp. We really would have hoped that in that importance of a game, every call is crucial, and I wished he had have taken a couple of more strides to find that puck because it was clearly wide open in front of the net.
We're talking to former NHL referee Kerry Fraser. Kerry, I have to ask you a blunt question that people on Twitter would ask me, so I'm just going to straight out ask it to you. Do you believe that the referees in the NHL have any bias against Nashville?
No, none whatsoever. I will say on that note, though, if we look at the officiating performance over the course of the playoffs, I think that it needs to be better, for sure. And you know, what troubles me is that, like a hockey team, I thought Nashville Predators were really well coached. And Mike Sullivan did a terrific job with his team, preparing the team, setting up systems, changing, making changes where necessary. And I look at the officiating as a team as well. And so the coach and general manager of that team is responsible for holding the officials accountable, but also setting a standard. And, you know, so many times over the course of the playoffs, on Twitter especially, fans were irate with the fact that so many things were being let go as opposed to the regular season. And I can't deny it. I mean, it's a whole different way that the game was officiated. There was way too much stuff that was let go. So I think, in fairness to the officials, they need to have clear definition as to what's expected of them, how the game is supposed to be called, and when they do make those kind of calls, they need to be supported in it. So I look at, really, a lack of direction coming down from the top to the officials. I know that's not going to please too many people at the top, but it's a reality. And if the team continues to fail, and every year we hear the same thing about playoff officiating, I think it's time for a change for the better, so that players understand clearly what they can and can't do. And the onus isn't so much on the official when he makes a call that is a legitimate penalty. Take the pressure off him. The player commits the infraction, and support the official when that expected standard is adhered to.
So let me ask you something. The offsides rule and the challenge of the offsides rule, it seems like it was put in place to fix the egregious mistake, but now it seems like it's gotten to the point where they're challenging every inch of offsides. Do you agree with that rule, the spirit of that rule, the letter of that rule, and should there be a change to offsides to where it's more of a crossing of the goal line plain call as opposed to the foot touching the ice?
Well, for sure. I mean, I'm all for a coach's challenge. I mean, you don't want a game to end or a series to end or a cup to be presented on an offside play or goalie interference. So the opportunity for a coach to challenge, I think, is terrific. However, with the offside rule, the skate on the ice, the tip of the toe being in contact with the blue line or in the neutral zone with a full stride is almost impossible to detect, even with video review. So the common sense approach here, since we now are highlighted on offsides so much, and I was just with Hall of Fame linesman Ray Scampanello, who said, my God, why are guys missing so many offsides? It's a faster game, they're bigger players, they cross the blue line with speed because we don't allow the hooking and the holding and the restraining through the neutral zone, so it is a more difficult call for them to make. Most of the time, they're perfect on those calls, but let's make it easier for the linesman and for the review process by, instead of having the tip of the toe or the skate blade in contact with the line, let's run that plane from the inside edge of the blue line all the way up to the ceiling. So therefore, all they would have to do was have their leg skate hanging over the blue line or into the neutral zone in a full stride. That would simplify it. That would make the review better. We want more goals. We don't want them called back. So that, to me, would accomplish the mission.
Fantastic stuff. Great clarity. Kerry, we really appreciate former NFL referee Kerry Frazier. I know it was NHL referee Kerry Frazier. Sorry, wrong sport, Kerry. We really appreciate your time coming on this morning. I'm so flustered from the loss. No, we appreciate your time last second giving us all this information, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and I'm going to be speaking to my good friend Brent Peterson. I want to get in for his golf outing in September. We have some really special stuff that I do with my golf business with the Par 3 whole sponsorship. So I'll be talking to Brent, and hopefully I'll see you guys there.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Count us in. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, guys.
Great stuff from Kerry, obviously. Great clarity there. I think he said what we thought. Not a continuous play, and not reviewable, and a blown call.
And I love shifting to a plane of the goal line style call on offsides. Captain Ryan Ellis last night. Mother, we're defending Fort Bridgestone valiantly, but the Yinzerbergers have befriended the local zebra herd, and both must be eradicated. The zebra herd, of course, referring to the officials.
Yes.
Also, Yinzerbergers. That's fantastic.
Crazy. We're going to do a crazy changing of the gears here. We're going to go all the way from an NHL referee to an NFL punter.
This is a hot route, Red 7.
That's why
hot route.
Wrong league here. Titans punter Brent Kern, also huge Preds fan, going to join us up next. We will talk to him on Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.